All right, guys, welcome back. Going into the final portion here, a week number 8 of Swan Song. Adam, what's going on?
So this mysterious suited individual has just turned his pad over to you and asked you if you recognize someone. You see the face of, and it looks like a surveillance shot. It's not like a Facebook profile picture. Like, this person is being surveilled. It's Odette Rainier, the woman who installed the computer parts that house Pi in the Swan Song.
I ask, I'm just like, who is that woman? What? Who do you know her as? I know her as someone who installed some parts on our ship once upon a time.
So he nods as if that's part of an answer. He says, and how did you come to hire this person to install these parts? Who directed you to?
I don't know. We found a phone book and looked up computer repair person, and her name was there. And
how did you know what parts you needed?
We didn't. I think she was the one that told us.
And if book. I were to examine the manifest of your ship, this would hold out?
What, do we have those parts?
No, that you were, that she told you what to order. That there's no outgoing communication.
I mean, I think so. I don't fucking know. That was months ago.
Who is the communications officer aboard your ship?
Captain Norsdumo?
What?
I just say it as fucked up as possible.
he says,
That's another one of his names.
Okay. He says, I know the names of everyone on your ship, Higgins.
Well, you don't know the AI's names.
Who is responsible for communications?
Beelzebub. He does all of our talking. The ship, I'm being honest with you. You're laughing, but that AI has ruled our lives. You are actually doing me a favor keeping me here. It was hell living with that asshole. Every day I'd see a checklist in front of me with my name, and he was blinking with a red dot and a little skull next to it as if he was going to kill me. But every day I'd live a little longer because I'm a fucking survivor. And I just look back over to the window.
Okay, so when you say that, then yeah, we swipe cut to Piani, the last few days you've been in and out of a drug-induced sort of fugue state. Where, and you've done this before, like it's a sort of MES therapy where your body your body and your brain are separated so that you can work on your brain. Like you did this occasionally as a kid when you had like blackouts from MES. Like it's a normal therapy. But, someone is like examining your, like you're hooked up to like one of those Acuroscope things that's like getting your like psychic profile and stuff. You can hear it sort of humming away in the background. And you wake up. And yeah, you're not restrained, but you can't really move. And you're in a room that's, it looks like looking around, it looks like an empty, like children's ward maybe of the hospital. You're in a wheelchair. There's some like small beds around. There's a scene painted on one wall, like a mural of like a big wooden boat. With like an old man with a beard herding animals onto the boat in pairs, you come to and sort of start looking around, and you can still feel like echoes of the sort of psi trance that you were in, so you're a little disoriented and feeling kind of like disarmed. But someone comes over, they sort of like kneel down so they can see you. And you can see it's a woman. She's dressed in a lab coat and kind of a plain dress. She has her hair pulled up in a bun, sort of graying. And she says to you, how are you feeling?
My fucking head hurts.
She nods. You've been through a traumatic experience.
What the fuck happened?
You've had, and she kind of sighs and shakes her head. She says, you've had an episode. Your MES, it's not good, I'm afraid.
What do you mean it's not good?
And that's when he notices his squid arms. No!
She destroys you for being a mutant.
Half woman, half octopus. Piani exists only to seek mollusks. No, it's good.
She pulls over a stool, like a plastic like red plastic stool and like sits on it. And she says to you, what is the last thing that you remember?
I remember floating around with the fucking swan song in the middle of space and not having enough life support, so we had to go under, and here we are.
And she kind of, like, looks at you, and she's like, this swan song, is this a ship of some kind?
It's the name of the ship.
Interesting. And she, like, makes some notes, and she's like, tell me more about this ship.
Well, how about you answer a couple of questions for me?
She nods. I think we can do that.
Where's the other people I was with?
She shakes her head and she's like, we're alone here. There are no other people.
The fuck you mean we're alone?
She gestures around. We've had this area of the hospital cleared for you. You have a history of violence.
I laugh a little bit.
You're like, damn right.
But the other fucking people on the ship, there was... some other people. Where are they?
So she's like taking notes on her tablet, and she's like, who are these other people? Tell me about them.
I'm not sure they understand. Are they alive? Are they fucking here? I'll tell you about them, but I got to know that they're safe.
So some piece of equipment, like monitoring equipment attached to you, starts to beep when you like start to get kind of like riled up, and then there's like a faint kind of hissing sound. And then you start to feel like kind of dizzy and like a little bit like druggy. And she puts her hand out kind of like, it's all right. It's all right. Tell me more about your friends. I'm sure they're safe, but I'd like to know more about them, please.
Well, we got Victor. He's the fucking scientist. Good guy, handsome. Fucking Higgs.
Taking notes.
He fucking owes me so much goddamn fucking money.
I love imperative to Wheat's impression of Irish people is cussing every other fucking word.
It's the only way I can get the inflection right. Breaking the character. And then there's the fucking cook. He makes a great lobster bisque.
She nods. And that's everyone who was on this ship with you.
But there's a doctor. Don't really give a fuck about him, so...
Dude,
don't
what?
Know much about him.
Different doctor, not you, it's fine. So she makes some more notes. And she's like, but don't you have a special friend on board the ship? Someone you've talked about before? And you don't remember?
Sorry, do I fucking look like I'm 5 years old? If you have a question, just fucking ask me.
She says, there's no need for that kind of language. I'm just having a conversation with you. And she sighs and kind of looks at you like she's like kind of like sad about how this conversation is going. Like she's failed somehow. And she's like, maybe you need some more alone time and we can talk about this again when you're feeling less upset.
Oh, you're not gonna find me in another mood, laddie.
Okay, so again, more like the more aggravated you get, the like you keep hearing this like noise. But the first time, you know, it sounds like a really audibly clear ping, and then eventually, it sounds like you're hearing it kind of at the bottom of a well, and your breathing is starting to slow, and you're feeling kind of like dizzy.
You can fucking pump all the drugs you want, and I'm still going to be a fucking angry bitch.
So she kind of like leans over and tries to make eye contact with you, and you're having a really hard time because it's all blurry and stuff. And she's like, we'll try again tomorrow. And she kind of steps back and starts to walk out of the room. So you fall asleep, not necessarily of your own will, we fade with you to Mr. Sicarian.
Mm-hmm.
Sicarian, you're in a cell like the one that I described to Victor. You don't have any medical shit hooked up to you. You wake up just like on the floor. You're naked. You're not wearing anything.
Fantastic.
And yeah, you feel like shit. Like there's like a pool of ostensibly your own vomit nearby. the cell doesn't look like it's been cleaned in a long time. And just looking at like your arms and legs, you have bruises, but not just ones like summary with a crash. Like someone's like been hitting you with things, but you don't remember any of that.
I wake up. Shit. Can I stand up?
You can stand up if you lean against the wall. Yeah.
I do that, and then I fix my hair.
Okay. All right.
Stark naked, but yeah. Leaning against the wall, fixing my hair. And then I just stand there.
Okay. All right. So after a minute, a sliding like panel at the bottom of the door opens, and someone slides a plastic tray with some like obvious disgusting prison food on. Have you ever been in prison before? Has Kane ever been like in
prison? Yes.
And was it, like, for a crime, or was it, like, a prisoner of war thing?
Guessing for him it would be, like, it would be viewed as a crime, what he did.
Okay. All right, and were you imprisoned by, like, a local government, or...
Yeah.
The larger... Okay, all right, cool.
As that slides through...
Yeah.
He kind of, he's been taking beating, so he's like...
Yeah.
He's like, I asked for the home-baked bread, actually.
Okay. Someone says something to you harshly in a language you don't understand, and then the thing shuts. I mean, the food's not like... It's not like maggoty or anything. Like, it's just bland, like mush.
Yeah.
But seeing it, you realize, like, you haven't eaten in a while. Like, your stomach is, like, pretty...
I wolf it down, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not the worst thing you've ever eaten. Nutrient mush, tasty wheat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that happens by your guess. I imagine Securian has a pretty decent internal sort of chronometer.
Yeah.
Every, like, 12 hours or so, what do you do to pass the time?
He, in a situation like this, he's just working on making himself more limber and self-analyzing the damage done to himself. So he's testing for broken bones. He's seeing if he has full extension of all joints and limbs.
Okay. Yep.
Combat readiness.
Yeah, you might have... you're not going to die. You don't need like medical assistance desperately. You've probably got some bruised ribs and stuff, but you're banged up, but not like... Yeah.
Okay.
Be okay. So that like food rest... test whatever cycle happens a few times, at some point sort of randomly the like a speaker that you didn't know was there like crackles in the ceiling, and you hear a voice on the other end, and if we were to step back from the game, if we were an audience watching, the voice is the same as the person who's been talking to Higgs in the other room.
Okay.
So the voice comes over the intercom, and they say, Mr. Sicarian, we're going to give you some clothes. That's going to require we open the door. You're not going to do anything stupid, are you?
Ah, shit, I should have restarted the call. Here, let me just call you back real quick instead of you wasting time trying to get them to work.
Okay.
Unless they work right away. Nope, call me back.
All right.
So assuming I can, is it enough time passed and I'm able to walk around and move?
Yeah, I mean, you're not at your limber fighting best, but you, yeah. I mean, the room is tiny, right? It's like 6x6. But yeah,
okay.
I mean, then you can stand.
I walk to the other side from the door and I stand and I say, you may open the door.
Okay, so the door opens. And unlike like a single armed guard with a club that they sent to deal with Victor... this one, there's like a guy holding a rifle at you. He's wearing the same like drab kind of clothes. He's got some kind of like patch and like some military symbols you don't necessarily recognize on first glance. And yeah, he's pointing this like kind of archaic looking slug thrower rifle at you. And then someone else kind of comes in beside him and like throws a plastic like sealed pouch at you. Mm-hmm. The guy hits you in the chest. And then the guy backs up and they slam the door.
I diligently open it up and
tear it open.
Dress myself.
Yep. Okay. So like pretty standard, like kind of prison garb, like a dull sort of blue jumpsuit.
I straighten it as best I can, and I wipe it down.
Okay. All right. It smells, like, really strongly of like, detergent, like, septic, antiseptic detergent. And then they ignore you for a while longer. And you're fed some more, and the boredom starts to creep in. You don't really have a lot of room to move around. What do you do once that feeling of like claustrophobia like starts to like I don't think it affects you necessarily, but you can feel it at the edges of your perception.
As time passes, he's just continuously trying to kind of remember things, trying to like get down. You know, he's putting his mind at work, knowing that that's the key between that and insanity, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So more time passes, and the comms come back on, and the same voice, though the voice sounds kind of tired now, comes over the intercom and says, "I'd like to have a conversation with you, Mr. Sakarian. Is that something you think you would be amenable to?"
He kind of chuckles to himself. He says, "As it happens, my schedule is completely free. We can do that just fine."
"We're going to have to restrain you. If you cooperate, no harm will come to you." There's a sliding panel that opens in the middle of the door, and the voice says, "Please place your wrists through the panel."
I do.
Okay, they cut off your hands. Ha, fucker. No. All right, you feel like plastic, like cuffs, like restraints go over your wrists.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone outside says in like kind of rough English, like, "Step back."
I do. I do everything they say.
Yeah. So they open the door. There's a guy with a gun trained on you. There's another guy who kind of like takes you out of the cell and starts to lead you down a hallway to another room. So in that room, they open the door. You can see there's a metal table. There's two like folding chairs. There's on the table, there are two styrofoam cups. They have something steaming in them. And there's someone sitting in the chair opposite where you come into the room. It's that guy that I described before.
Yeah.
Suit, whatever. And he looks up and he stands when you come in. And the guards kind of like push you towards the chair. And one of them, the guy kind of like pushes on your shoulders to like get you to sit. Instead of just saying sit, but you're like, yeah.
I'm very cooperative. If they shove me, if they push me, if they want me to sit, I do that.
Sure. Okay. So they like back away from you. The only light source is like a lamp above you. You can't really tell how big the room is. I mean, you get some idea. It's like larger than it appears because it's kind of echoey. But
mm-hmm.
The guy sits down, and he says to you, "Sorry you're having to go through all of this. The authorities on this planet are not the most subtle. So you have my apologies."
"Well, I appreciate that. Thank you."
"They're very concerned about the security of this planet. Important resources. You understand."
"I, of course, do."
"There are a few formalities that I need to do to process you before we can allow you and other cooperating members of your crew to leave."
"Okay."
"We found contraband on your ship. Significant contraband."
"As far as I was made aware, it's not illegal for Higgins to have a generous collection of pornographic material."
"Mr. Higgins, many vices notwithstanding, the issue with the Swan Song is its fifth crew member. An artificial intelligence, I believe, goes by the name of Pi. Do you know anything about this?"
"Of course."
"And you freely admit to an unbraked artificial intelligence being on board your ship?"
"Well, it was forced upon us, and we did the best we could to exist with this a part of our lives. Once it's unbroken, you understand there's nothing that we can do except for destroy our ship, and that's our livelihood, so we felt it best to contain it until we could reach more appropriate people."
"And so why are you here?"
"We were supposed to deliver Dr. Sahi, doesn't fucking matter. We were supposed to deliver him to the nearby planet where the Vod are occupied. It's a peaceful journey. There's no military interest there. It's just to get one man of science to a planet of interest. And then we were to return. And on that way, we took damage from spike jumps, I believe, at some point. I can't give you the exact... I am not actually the navigator, but at some point we took damage. We needed repairs. And we discovered that we had been injected with this presence.
So the artificial intelligence boarded your ship during this period in which you were unconscious?
I believe... Well, no. No, it was before that.
No, it's... Do you know this woman? And he shows you the same picture that he showed to Higgs.
I do not know her name, but that is the woman that did repairs for our ship, yes.
And these repairs, do you know the nature of them?
I do not. That is outside my expertise.
Who on your ship is in charge of the computer core?
I believe communications is the closest we'll come to that, and that's Piani. She's a kind-hearted and gentle-minded soul.
He looks at you like he's not sure if you're kidding or not.
That was a joke, Mr. Blue Suit. She's a rather gruff fellow, but the one to communicate in these brigand space-inhabited areas, she's the best.
We believe that this woman, Piani, has a relationship with the artificial intelligence. It's sealed the ship from our access, and we don't want to risk damaging it. It's vitally important that we retrieve the core intact. I'm going to level with you, Mr. Sicarian. We need your help. In exchange for discretion about your whereabouts, perhaps, I need you to convince Piani to get us on board the ship.
I'm guessing my bidding power here is quite limited. Do you control the government? And you won't tell me, of course, who you represent.
He says there are only two ways for you off this planet. One of them is on your ship, minus the artificial intelligence, of course, but a free man. The other is in the hands of the Pfotenhauer Society. The Pfotenhauer Society. It would not be a difficult thing for me to call Mr. Titan and have him here and... Well, a short time.
Well, I tell you what. If you can perhaps, because I do agree with you, there's only two ways off the planet, and I understand your scenario to be accurate. However, the ship does us no good in its current state. If you can bring it up to being ready, then perhaps this exchange is actually meaningful, because as it stands right now, I'd die here to a feral government with the respect of my peers intact, or I'd die here on a feral government without the respect of my peers.
We would be happy to provide whatever the ship needs to repair it and to make it space-worthy again and send you on your way as long as we can have the core. The computer is all we need.
Then I shall do my best to communicate this need and the current tactical situation to my peers. Can I be reunited with them?
We'll return you to your cell. I'll, consult with my supervisors and we'll discuss.
Is there any way, some form of... Can I have a magazine? Anything, really.
He says, I'll see what I can do.
I appreciate that.
Okay. So you're taken back to your cell, and the next time that you get food, someone also gives you a Bible.
Like a Christian Bible?
No, like a Torah, basically. Okay. Yeah. Like a sort of loosely translated into English version of like the year 3200 equivalent of the Torah. And that's your reading material that you're given.
There's a very indignant sigh as they hand this to me, but I mumble under my breath like, better than nothing.
Okay. So you start eating your mush and begin reading
yep.
The Jewish holy text. Okay, cool. So, so in the meantime, Victor, you've regained consciousness.
Do I have one hit point?
You have one hit point.
Yes.
Should we just start rolling now? Or?
I use it to headbutt the guy.
Yeah, I throw my hit point at him.
Okay. I wake up. My head hurts.
It does.
Where am I?
So the door, your door, like, jerks open. Like, you've been awake for a while, but the door jerks open, and there's, like, a really bright, like flashlight in your face and someone's yelling at you.
I put up my hands and say, I don't understand what you're saying.
Someone else comes into the room and grabs you by like the front of your shirt and picks you up.
Yeah.
And they like drag you out into the hallway. And you're just like getting shouted at and pushed and you keep stumbling.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Just like, follow.
Yeah,
follow.
I just go with them.
Okay. You get pushed into a room. The room smells terrible. Like of like human excretia. And when your eyes adjust to the much lower level of light in the room, there's it's a small room. There's a set on the back wall of like sinks that jut out from the wall. The floor is sloped down slightly, and there's like a grate in the middle. And then over the grate is a metal table with a blood-stained like sheet over it.
Yeah.
And you just get shoved into this room, and the door slams shut behind you.
Cool. And the room is empty other than me.
Yes.
Okay. Is it dark?
No. There's like dim lighting in the room.
Okay. I look around for anything else of, you know, interest in the room. Anything that could be used as a defensive weapon. I'm guessing there's going to be nothing.
They pretty intentionally did not allow anything in the room that would, yeah.
Is the table bolted to the floor?
No. No, it is not.
Okay. Am I clothed?
Yeah. Yeah, you're wearing whatever you were wearing before the crash. You're wearing your normal clothes. They have, like, blood on them and stuff now, but...
Yeah, of course. Like, there are no other exits from the room.
No.
Okay.
Oh, Adam failed to mention that there's actually a wide-open door that leads to...
Yeah, totally. There's an elevator. These are the small
side. It says... To freedom?
If you hadn't asked, I would never have mentioned it.
Yep. Okay. I guess I wait.
Okay,
I move around to the other side of the table so that it's between myself and the door.
Okay.
And I face the door, and I just stand there with two hands down on the table looking at the door.
Okay, you don't want to, like, take the sheet back or anything. Whatever's under it smells terrible.
Oh, there's something under it.
Yeah, the sheet is, like, covering a thing on the table.
I pull it back.
Okay, it's Dr. Saeed.
Okay.
Someone's cuckoo clock is going off.
You hear your own sanity eroding.
Oh my god.
There's no need to take his pulse.
So he's obviously been autopsied. He's got the big Y-shaped scar on his chest. He's naked.
But you take his pulse anyways.
Yeah,
hey,
I do. Just, you know.
He does it by literally sticking it next.
Dead.
He grabs his heart. Nope, still no beat. He's definitely dead. I've concluded it.
Yeah,
this man appears to be dead.
And
time of death. Whatever.
So
he's been
autopsied and all of his cybernetics removed. So he's got a big hole in the back of his skull.
Yeah,
and his spine has been like his back is like cut open and his spine's mostly taken out.
Okay. Well, you know, I begin probing the inside of the body.
You're gonna like cut open like I guess you don't.
Well,
cut
yeah,
open,
I'm,
open.
I'm just investigating his organs and the extent of his cybernetics, and yeah, of course.
You're a monster. All right, you're a dead man. Okay, you like open him up, and he's had his organs like removed, and it's just kind of a shell.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the door you came in open.
Yeah.
And you look up, and the hall is lit better than this room, so there's just, like, an outline of, like, a person.
Mm-hmm.
And they step in, and the door closes behind them. They're wearing, a lab coat. They have a surgical mask on. They stand there for a second and look at you, and they say, you recognize the body, then?
I just wipe my nose. There's like a big smear of blood on my face. And I say, yeah, Dr. Omar Saeed, what's your point?
Why was Dr. Saeed on your ship?
We had taken a job to escort him to from the Department of Xenosociology at Anaximander University.
He takes a few steps forward. How well did you know this man?
Not.
And he told you he was a xenosociologist?
The details of the job we took specify that he was a professor working for the Department of Xenosociology at Anaximander University.
But you never saw his credentials?
Nope.
He He shows you a picture on his like display. He's got a tablet. He shows it to you. It's a picture of, it looks like it's in, they're like in a bar. It's Dr. Saeed sitting at a table with, you don't recognize her at first because she's dressed pretty differently, but it's Odette Rainier. But she's got like a, her collar up and like a scarf, but you can definitely recognize her. And they're having a conversation. He says, do you know the woman in this photograph?
I'm afraid I don't.
Don't lie to me. Who is she?
I have no idea.
He shakes his head. He points at the body. He's like, there's no one who knows you're here, Victor.
That's a shame. There's no one who knows that woman.
It would be helpful to me if you would cooperate.
What exactly do you want to know?
How do you know this woman?
I don't know this woman. Are you joking?
He scowls at you, shakes his head again. How do you think this is going to go, Mr. Kovacs?
Well, Mr. I don't give a fuck what your name is. I think you're probably going to gut me right here in this room. And then you're not going to have any more information, and I'm going to be dead. And neither of us are going to benefit. Honestly, I don't know why you're looking for this woman.
He says to you, the rest of your crew has already told me as much as they know, but he looks at you. I thought you would be smarter than this.
Oh, then you must already have all the information you need.
That was your first mistake. He says, listen to me, Victor. I just want to deal with this problem that now we both have. And once the problem is dealt with, you can leave. I don't want you to be here. I don't want you to end up like this. He gestures to the body.
He has weapons on him, right?
Not that you can see, no.
Fantastic. Then I flip the table with the body on it, and I charge with the
with my one hit point. You're not Mr. Scared.
No, I do only have one hit point. I say, listen. I have no information for you. I met that woman once exactly in my life. You know what struck her most about me? What struck me most about her?
I actually think that just happens that exact way.
Okay. Yeah, he kind of gives you the eyebrow, like, go ahead.
One, she's incredibly attractive. Two, she knows far more about computers than I do. That's literally everything. I probably spoke with her for about 5 minutes total. We probably exchanged no more than 50 words. I have no information for you, and if you think you're going to get more out of me by threatening to cut me open, then I suggest you start cutting.
He seems like kind of like relieved, and he nods and says, that's all I wanted to hear you say. So you don't know that she's a terrorist, then?
I don't know that anybody's a terrorist.
he laughs and says, let's not debate ethics here. You're carrying something on your ship, a very dangerous weapon. Something that perhaps when you found it did not appear so dangerous, but when you altered it, when Piani altered it, it became more so. And putting it in the hands of this woman and her friends has made it... He hesitates for a second. The threat is greater than perhaps you recognize. I'm trying to help you, Victor. I don't want you to be a prisoner here. I don't want you to end up like this. I want you to be able to leave, but I need your help.
I'm sorry, putting it in the hands of this woman and her friends?
He nods.
Whose fault is that?
Exposing the artificial intelligence to whatever it is that they've done. Things have been escalated that cannot be de-escalated. We need to get our hands on the computer core, and I believe the only person who can allow us to do that is your friend Piani, who, as I imagine you understand, is not being very cooperative.
She's not cooperative in a general sense, no.
If you would be willing to help us convince her to get us access to the core, we will take it, deal with the weapon ourselves, and you'll be free to go. All of this will be forgotten.
Listen, buddy, you're assuming that I have some kind of relationship with these people that would allow me to convince someone like Piani to access the core. You misconstrue. Higgs is just some off-worlder who managed to find a ship. Piani's just some computer guru who managed to find Higgs. Higgs needed protection. He hired Sicarian. I needed a trip off of... where the hell was I from? I needed a trip off of Andoni, so I signed on. I really don't know these people. I really don't have leverage over these people. Like I said, Piani is not the most cooperative of people in normal circumstances. I don't know what you're going to get from me.
He says to you, you may not know these people very well, but now you are all bound by a shared crime. Help me with Piani, or don't. I will leave it up to you to decide. And he goes to like leave the room. And before he does, he looks around and he says, how do you think this room is bigger than your cell, yes? Not as good company, I think, but let's keep you here for the time being. And he leaves and closes the door behind him.
As he's closing the door, I say, dead bodies never bothered me.
All right. So that came out wrong, man. That's probably as good a place as any for us. Dead bodies never bothered me. So,
can the crew at any moment during the interrogations or whatever just hear the cries of a crazy madman just screaming, Nostromo! Beelzebub! Because that's all Higgs does this entire time. Yeah. So we'll figure out when we're playing next. We'll let you guys know, but we got to do some shout-outs first before we wrap it up. So, Wheat, why don't you start us off?
Man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep until the next song, so I'm a little worried. So thanks for this ride. Thanks to everyone who tuned in. I hope that everyone has a happy holiday. If you are celebrating this week, Thanksgiving in the U.S., I will be. But I'll be streaming as well, some Smash. You know, all that good shit. So you know where to find me, twitch.tv/DJWheat, twitter.com/DJWheat, and all that other good shit. So thank you, guys.
Awesome stuff. Thanks for being on the show. Steve, do some shout-outs.
Thanks, y'all, for hanging out. This was an awesome show. You can find me around the internet space at Silent Osiris, where the O is zero. I'm on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, whatever. Hope you are all totally sub to JP's channel, because I also run a bunch of games for him there, as well as being the lead level designer for a game called Warhammer 40,000 Eternal Crusade. So if you're into massively multiplayer online third-person shooters, you should check that out. That is about it for me this evening.
Cool stuff. Adam, a.k.a. Steven 2, please do some shout-outs.
Someday I'll be my own in person.
Someday.
Yeah. Well, shout-outs to all of y'all for the excellent passing of the spotlight. Thanks for everybody for coming. You can also, the Twitter, follow me, at Skinny Ghost. It's where I live. I'll do a little Q&A after this if you want to come and bombard me with questions I won't answer.
Boom.
There you go. Shots fired. Last but not least, Jeff, do some shout-outs.
Echo their sentiments. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. The gang's back. Hopefully we can do it without as much gas. That's always the goal from all of us. We're just all very busy people, and Steven. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know what that means. Thank you for watching. Please do follow me on Twitter, EG in Control. That's all the plugs I really want to do. Just, you know, I look forward to reading the Q&A. And as always, actually, Swansong, by the way, has some of the sickest followers in terms of, like, art and people writing up alternative stories and stuff and, like, really making the universe expand and cool. So thank you and big shout-out to everyone that contributes to that, because that's – we all read and eat that up, and it's so cool that you guys participate.
Amen.
And I really like that Adam actually makes a concerted effort to encourage and include people in that. And then – rope it into the universe. Like, the whole Blue Fever thing started with that guy's news show, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and that's cool that he did that, so thank you.
There you go. Still working on part one. Looks like it's almost done processing over on YouTube, so I'll tweet that out as well as the sub VOD. And I'll do all my shout-outs after the closing out, so thanks, everyone. We'll let you know next time we're doing a show, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.